me a little, you better run. So, hello, welcome to another episode of this podcast. And today I was waiting actually, because after my previous episode, I actually didn't have any motivation. After I'd written the script for the previous one, I didn't have any motivation. I was like, no, it is too early to throw in the tile and film just one episode. I was like, no, I needed to have two. And then reacting to Espa, bitch, the inspiration hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, I need to talk about these girls. So here I am. And this is kind of like an overview to really talk about where they came from, what I thought about the branding at the time, and also just to really appreciate really good A&R work and really good managing and really good brand identity that is consistent and grows over time. For people who don't know, A&R, which people laugh about in the industry, is artists and repertoire, and people in the industry are like, we don't know what it means either. But essentially, they're the people who are curating the music for the artists and, you know, in charge of their repertoire per se, and, you know, dealing with and knowing what works with an artist's identity, really. And looking at Espa's trajectory and their history, it is clear they have amazing A&R. So let's go back to where it began, shall we? I remember being excited about their debut. It's 2020. This is in the worst and the midst of the most intense parts of COVID were over. But yeah, they were due to debut in November. And the first, actually, hint of their debut came at the end of Super M's video for One. So people who don't know, Super M were an Avengers-style group of different guys from the same label, joining forces to form a super group, per se. And Taemin, who is from SHINee, and after the video ends, there's a clip of him walking in a field by a mountain. He pulls out a phone, and then the phone does this logo symbol, which we didn't know at the time would come to be Espa's symbol. And this also adds and showcases one of my favorite things about K-pop and companies, and especially SM. Things are planned so thoroughly and so in advance that your impatience really is just not like your impatience is just going to work against you, because they're not in a rush to change their plans to make you feel better. They have planned things out, and to be honest, I can't lie to you, I've learned a lot from them as well, in how I've learned how to tease my content, also surprise people and sort of build a sense of like planning, because I'm not a planner at all, and I've learned a lot from them. But to show that, I should have checked when that video came out, but to show that they've done that symbol and as a teaser for the next girl group, and this fact that the logo was already done and all this stuff, it's just masterful planning. So, so we didn't know what that symbol meant. Taemin just said in an interview, it's just a symbol regarding the next chapter. Because at this time, Lee Soo-man, the founder who's now gone, he was obsessed with setting up and having a sort of SM universe where you've got villains, you've got heroes, you've got this, and, you know, they interact with each other in this place called Kwangya. It was this whole thing. He definitely is a big Marvel fan, I'm sure. So yeah, that was all we got. And then the trailers prior to the debut was like super engaging and cinematic. There was one where is Karina the leader? I'm sure she is. She is in this massive space, and this woman with like black fingers and long nails covers her, and then this puff of smoke comes out. It's just the most like, I was like, what's all this then, you know? I was very, very much intrigued. And they also had the concept of AI versions of themselves called A's. I don't know if you called them AI at the time, but they were basically, yeah, they would be another sort of alter ego of theirs, except, you know, they were fully designed, whatever, fully fake. So there was this whole just like whatever. And I can't lie to you, that identity at the jump didn't really scream like, oh, this is my bag at all. It was kind of like, okay, let's see where this goes, let's see how this sounds, because with SM it's always about the vocals, right? The first single, Black Mamba, was a loud EDM, pretty much influenced dance track with a lot of grit, a little bit hyper pop in a way. You know, high tech video with loads of colors and intense energy, you know, precisely the kind of aesthetic I do not miss from K-pop. And it's part of the reason why I never fell in love with them as well, because you have to remember, at this time, I had the perception that SM is all about sort of like R&B inspired songs and vocals and that kind of thing. So this video comes along and it's super. So for people who are watching the podcast, you can see the video with me. It's just so like, I don't know if youthful is not a wrong word, but it's not what I was expecting at all. So yeah, you can, like, the energy, I was just like, oh my god, like, what's all this? So yeah, that was kind of like the intro, and that didn't really click for me, because also, so I remember at the time, I'm thinking SM off as, you know, R&B and pop adjacent influences in the most of the music, so like what we've had from Red Velvet or SHINee or NCT 127, so that for me just didn't really hit the spot. And also another thing that I've mentioned before, I've never really connected with small number groups. Like, I like large numbers. I don't know what it is. I think they seem more powerful. Just, you know, strength in numbers. I think that's what really, and it gags me more when you have them in sync and they hit the thing. So when it's four, it's kind of like, oh, okay. But I must say it was a strong debut sonically and even choreo wise. I think they ticked all the right boxes. And they also had a lot of pressure as well, because they were SM's first girl group to debut in 6 years. So naturally, people are going to be more critical. Same thing happening with my Bubbas right now, Hearts to Hearts. So their debut came with some critics, you know, mostly, and it was fair, I would say, mostly because of their stage presence. And a feeling of them being disjointed as four members and not being super synchronized. And also their choreo, after Black Mamba, the choreo was just seen as a little bit like, what is this choreo? Like, it didn't feel like it hit the standard of their talent or SM standards, to be honest. But I must say, even in the time when the choreo wasn't hitting, the music was. And their Savage EP was so solid. So that came a year later. And Savage, which was a title track, gagged me. Oh my god, if you actually go to my reaction, you can see exactly the moment where I was losing my mind. And I'll just play that for you as well. Oh, Espa, these are the days, man. Oh my god, this was like a lifetime ago, honestly. Like, this came out, yeah, 5th of October. Wow, this is Savage. And also, if you can see from the imagery, there was this whole thing about the Black Mamba, this whole snake. It was a whole part of their lore. Bitch, I'm a killer, killer. Catch no fella, we holla. Oh, First time I heard that drop. One thing about me, I love an anti-drop as well. And that was just so clean. Oh my God. And before I even move on back to the script as well, some of the B-sides on there were fantastic. And this is one of my favorites as well. It's called Lucid Dream. And you know what I love as well, like looking back, because I've not really, you know, managed to really look back like this, but they have really been probably the most consistent group when it comes to their sonic identity, in a way that most groups, they jump around, jump between sounds. They've maintained that same sort of clean, gritty, soft vocal, hip hop mix of R&B. Like, they've been very consistent, I must say, looking back. So, yeah, as you can hear, the music was really good. Even when their synergy and their brandings didn't feel as strong just yet, you can hear the quality was still there. But one of the main issues that I had with Aespa, and probably other people did as well at this time, and something that they've grown out of, which is, once again, great work from the A&R part, so probably great work from the girls themselves, is that they would have these piercing, whiny, high larynx belted notes at the end of most of their songs, and I'll play Savage for an example, which I'm so glad they don't do anymore. Like, what? I can't lie to you, it doesn't sound awful, but it's just sometimes it gets, especially when they do it live, you then hear how that placement can sound a bit like thin and whiny. But that's how it shows how much they're growing, because compare that to, no, let me not get ahead of myself. And they even had one of their biggest singles, actually, before I even get too far, which was Next Level in 2021. And Next Level, even till now, it's kind of their signature song in terms of the iconic choreo, that with the hand movement, which is like almost like a tutting shape. That was pretty much when they first really got on the map. And I would say the Korean public really took notice of them. It's one of those songs that SM is really good at, that the public just can't not dance to or listen to. So anyway, that was 2021, and then 2022, they also released Girls and Other Things, which was okay, but I feel like that was kind of like a miss, especially the choreo as well wasn't all that. When things really stepped up a notch is when Lee Soo-man left SM, and that was in 2023, and I feel like they really benefited from him leaving, because it's like their brand could develop beyond them fighting these fictional things. And they started with their first comeback, which was the album My World, and included the song Spicy. Spicy had grit, spicy. Still, I mean, that's the thing about them. They always maintain a grit. But for people who are watching the video, as you can see, they're in a real world. They're almost like in a high school. It's almost like Clueless. Although every now and then you get flickers of like, what would you call it? Like pixels of like a fake world. So it's like, oh, are they in the real world or not? But I feel like this was their transition into the real world. And also when you started to see their sort of identity as performers really start to elevate. And also, I think it was great to have their chemistry in, and have them interact in the music video as well. So this was, for me, I think, was kind of like the pre sort of like inception of them becoming the Aespa they've become now. Because just a few months after that, they came back with Drama. And Drama was, I remember reacting to it in Korea. And I was like, oh my God. Yo, I'm the drama. Ziggy ziggy zag, I'm you. Cause a girl, picky picky baddie, true. Neka down, no, none of bitch in talk. See, never know, no, down, yo, zoom. Hold up, what? Oh my God. You say, what? Catch up, you better watch out, or me call some boom. Tell her, go eat some food. Like, I remember just being so gagged by this video. The styling is phenomenal. The concept is a little bit Sin City-esque. The hook is great. The production, their energy, they're selling it as like the confidence. You know, you can tell they're starting to really grow into their own. And once again, the vocals are a little bit more restrained. It does have a bridge where they're singing down. But once again, how they utilize the high notes is a little bit more restrained and just not as so in your face. And even compare that to Spicy. Like, that was, you would never hear them do that kind of chorus now. But I guess there was kind of weaning us off that kind of having those kind of thin chesty notes, especially from Winter. So I saw that video and I was like, this is crazy. And I just didn't expect it. And I think that's the first time they really, really gagged me. Only for them to, a year later. So also, I forgot to mention, with My World, the one with Spicy, where they started to become in the real world, it's still their best-selling album to date with over 2 million copies. So from then on, I feel like everyone was tuned in. So then the next year, in May, they come back with Supernova. And from Drama, to be honest, this is when the run of crazy singles starts to happen, because it's almost like, how can they improve upon this? Well, Super never came along. I'm like some kind of supernova. Watch out, look at me go. Let me jump on. Beat it cool. So Supernova. Nova. And if you notice as well, sonically, this could be in the same album as Black Mamba. Like, they're still, this is 4 years later nearly, you're still maintaining such a strong artistic identity visually as well. But now the girls themselves are just more sitting into it comfortably. So Supernova was a pre-release. And to the main up, to their full album, their first full album, actually. And then the main title track was Armageddon, which I lost my mind. Lost my mind. What? They're just in a lane of their own. Like, you hear this, it's like no one else is doing anything like this ever. No one's ever doing what they're doing. It's like, it's almost like if you watch them in isolation, it feels like they're the only artist in K-pop. They just don't, no one is embodying the kind of energy that they have. It's like, no, we're not watching anyone else. We're not following any trends. We're doing what we're doing, and it all charts amazingly. So this is that. Imagine that's from Drama. Really and truly, let's include Spicy. From Spicy to Drama, Supernova, Armageddon. And one thing as well is like, even the aesthetic of the videos gradually changes and gets better. Like, it shows the beauty of the gradual planning and how you're getting more and more and things are expanding. Another point to add whilst I'm editing this that I forgot to mention is also touring helped Aespa as well, I suspect, with their chemistry, their stage energy, their stage presence. Which now shows so much consistently in all their music videos, and probably why a lot of companies get their acts, especially in K-pop now, to tour so quickly. Some of them, they do it a little bit extensively, but it definitely helps with getting over and also finding who you are as a performer since you're doing it so frequently. And Aespa, the best example of the benefits of what touring can do for an artist. It really brings out your star quality and your persona, as well as when they are on tour, they do these killer solo songs, which many of them, one of Karina's songs charted last year simply because of how good it was. I think most of their songs, if not all their songs, charted. So all that just helps with your artistry. And so because Supernova went super viral and it was such a massive hit in Korea, even more so than the main title track, Armageddon, they thought, oh, let's quickly do another little mini, which was Whiplash. And like, yeah, let's just give the girl something. And that was a few months after. And Whiplash is still in the charts till now. It's such a massive hit. It's crazy. And the video, cunty. One look, give 'em whiplash. Beat drop with a big flash. 집중해 좀 더 think fast. 이혼 언니 못해. Wait, they know I did that. They won't know I've been bad. Don't stop in the link chat. 무리해도 can't touch that. Under pressure, body sweating. Can you focus? I'll just tell me about your mouth. And watching these videos consecutively, there's an energy that you get from them, and usually from SM artists anyway, is like, we're not doing this for your approval. You're going to like what we're going to give you because we're going to serve it so well and sing it so well and sing it. And singing well doesn't always have to mean high notes. It can mean the conviction and the attitude that you end up buying what they're selling, which perfectly segues into their latest song. Because here's me thinking, nah, how can they top Whiplash? Like, there's no way. Like, this is it. They've reached. They need a break. Like, there's just no way you're going to do that. Then yesterday, I'm recording this on a Saturday, they dropped Dirty Work. And I lost my mind when I was writing to this, simply because I didn't expect to like it. And there's so many things about the song that I shouldn't like because it's so hip-hop. There's not a lot of melody in it. And yet, the delivery in it It's just fantastic. With this one, I'm going to go from the bridge to the outro so you can get an idea. And once again, the video and the performance just embodies that we've made it and no one can tell us no different. Nah, real bad business, that's dirty work. Are you fucking kidding me? What? This is how you grow a group and a brand over time. Like, this is perfection. Like, and what I like as well, this song is polarizing. A lot of people don't like it. A lot of people are thinking, oh, you lot four, they've lost their stride. I'm like, only someone who doesn't understand could say that, because how they're so intentionally, there's not even a single belt. The whole song is like, they are completely turning their brand on their head while still staying on brand and still convicting and being sonically consistent. Like, this is how you do it, because I can't keep giving you the vocal that you want. No, I'm going to give you a song that you might not appreciate now, but in a few months, you're going to be like, oh my God, that is a genius with Espa. That's a genius in their branding. That's a genius in their musical identity. It's always felt intentional, and it shows that it probably has been because of how beautifully it's matured and how beautifully they've matured. And yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I'm so impressed by how amazingly the trajectory has gone and how it's almost seemed seamless, and they've been allowed to grow without also having to acquiesce and changing their sound. They've managed to maintain their identity while still growing, because there's so much pressure to stay the top group and to do all this. And you think, no, let me do a little garage, like, you know, little garage inspired song so that it's really trendy and it's on TikTok. Nah, they don't do TikTok music. Supernova, you could argue, is that, but I think it became a TikTok song. It wasn't made for TikTok. And they've always maintained having bridges in their songs and having that SM finish and SM standard. And that is Espa. I just want to congratulate the Mize, because Espa continue to be at the top and they seem comfortable there. They even say in the lyrics in this song, like, we don't see you as a threat. Like, come on. And I don't really care if you like me. Like, they are about it. Even when they're vocally so reserved, their aura is screaming through the delivery. So, and they've earned it. You've heard a little bit of their trajectory. They've earned it, and they've built an empire. So yeah, that's the end of today's episode, and I'll see you lot next week. Bye.